The Israel Report with Roly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Roly Marks, how are you doing?
Good, and you, Benj? Well, it's Thursday. It's the start of the Israeli weekend, so I think Puzza Thursday is in full swing. I know it's definitely in full swing in Modi Inn because there is a beer festival. So, yeah, guys, Puzza Thursday, it's in Israel. It's where it's happening.
Trust me. Just because it's a working day on Friday doesn't mean anyone is working in South Africa. Now, Rolene, I don't know if you've ever been to the embassy, the Egyptian embassy in Tel Aviv. It's an interesting place on a very schnazzy part of the Tel Aviv-Basel beltway. And I wonder whether the Egyptian intelligence minister was perhaps having a secret meeting there.
Well, you wondered quite correctly. In fact, he wandered into Israel quite clandestine. I don't know if it's clandestinely a word. But yes, the head of Egyptian intelligence, Major General Abbas Kamel, was apparently in Tel Aviv yesterday to discuss the final details of a reported truce agreement that is aimed at calming weeks of clashes between Israel and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Last week, we saw the what I hope was the zenith of that escalation, with over 200 rockets and mortars fired at southern Israel. And today, he is scheduled, or was scheduled, we don't know the details of the meeting yet, to meet with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas in Ramallah. And this is according to London's Arabic daily Al Hayat and various Palestinian sources. But it looks like Egypt are really, really playing more of a role in brokering calm in the region. We spoke the other day about Benjamin Netanyahu's also secret visit to Cairo in May, and some of the things that were discussed during that meeting. And I'm sure that they were very, very high on the agenda yesterday, which is what to do with the growing humanitarian crisis in Gaza. And our head of the army, Avigdor Lieberman, our defense minister, all saying that we need to make a very clear distinction between Hamas and various terror entities in the Strip and the civilian population, who really don't deserve to live in the conditions that they are living in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope that the ceasefire does hold. But do we know anything about it?
Well, I'll tell you what we do know. What we do know is that Mahmoud Abbas has made a speech this week accusing Hamas of being liars. He said, "Hamas principally does not have intentions to achieve reconciliation. I swear to God they are liars." So this is what he was telling people about Hamas. He was also telling people that about the U.S. officials, who will also play a role in brokering what is hopefully a lasting peace in the region. But what we do know about the Israel-Hamas deal is that apparently they have agreed to a total ceasefire for at least a year. So a total ceasefire, the opening of crossings and expanding fishing zones, and we spoke about that yesterday, the opening of the Kerem Shalom and moving the boundary, the fishing boundary, out a little bit further, a couple of nautical miles, the humanitarian and medical aid, which continues to come in, and that is very well coordinated by the COGAT unit of the IDF. And this is also, this is a very, very important clause in this agreement. And this is the agreement on captives, missing persons and prisoners. Now, Israel does not want to negotiate the release of Hamas prisoners, but we also have two civilians that are in the Strip. They are held there by Hamas, as well as the remains of the two soldiers, Hadar Golden and Oron Shayul. We've been waiting for the release of those remains for the last 4 years. Another issue is the rebuilding of infrastructure and with foreign funding. One of the items coming up for discussion and debate is the possibility of a seaport that would operate from Cyprus, and also talks on a possible airport. So the current calm will continue as needed, and this has been achieved following the agreement reached, promoted by Egypt and the United Nations. And this is also very, very important for the return safely of the two captive civilians, Mengistu and a young Bedouin who wandered into the Gaza Strip. And any sea lane between Gaza and Cyprus will come under Israeli supervision. And also under heavy surveillance will be Qatari payment of Hamas official salaries. Hamas officials get very, very high salaries while the average Gazan struggles financially. So all these are clauses in the agreement. We have had some objections from the Habayat Yehudi party. We've heard from the Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked as well as Education Minister Naftali Bennett. They so far are the only formal objections to this agreement.
Yeah, and how do we know if this is going to starting to be implemented? Where will we know if it's, you know, something that's going to survive?
Well, we hope it is something that is going to survive, and this will be up to Hamas to remain or maintain the calm in the Gaza Strip. The IDF has said calm or quiet will be met with quiet, and this should go into effect immediately.
Very, very interesting to see where that goes, especially with the Iranians not really looking for peace in the region, if they can hold. But maybe, I hope it can. Now, Rolene, to borrow a phrase or reuse a phrase from Margaret Thatcher, the problem for UNRWA is when it runs out of other people's money.
Well, the problem for UNRWA is when it runs out of other people's money, and it is running steadfastly fast of other people's money. I think since the organization has been exposed for, I don't know if we can call it the misappropriation of funds, Benji, or rather maybe the misdirection of funds, that the funding that is going to this organization, the United Nations Relief Works Agency, or UNRWA as it's called, should be going towards humanitarian interests within the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, but unfortunately is going towards the incitement of hatred, which we have seen the ramifications of over the last few years with the increase in terror attacks, especially during the wave of terror that we experienced, I think, just over 2 years ago, where we had car rammings and stabbings and shootings virtually on a daily basis. And also coming under a lot of criticism are its spokesperson, Chris Gunness, a lot of criticism in the Arab media for living the life of Riley in Tel Aviv with his partner while many in Gaza suffer, and also for allowing the UNRWA schools and hospitals to be used as weapon storage facilities. So a lot of work to expose this. And today, in fact, we got a press release from UNRWA, from the Director General, Philippe Krahenbuhl, who said that UNRWA schools will open on schedule. How many of them will open, we watch to see. I know that UNRWA has come under a lot of criticism from ordinary Palestinians who say schools have been closed, hospitals have been closed, and when they approach the organization for comment, they are roundly ignored. Very interesting that it's Palestinian citizens who are criticizing UNRWA, but a lot of this because foreign aid, due to the revelations of where the money is going, being held back big time.
Yeah, certainly very interesting, Rolene. And I think that reforming UNRWA is probably one of the key things to actually getting the conflict to end. So I hope that there is a way forward there. A little bit running out of time here, but the problem with Trump moving the embassy was always going to be, what does he want in return? And now he's saying that everyone is going to have to make concessions. And Trump is a deal maker. So I just wonder, what does that mean in his new peace plan?
You and I both, Benji, and a lot of us are waiting with bated breath, because we have heard murmurings that the Trump peace plan will be revealed hopefully sooner rather than later. We don't know the conditions of this peace plan. That hasn't been made public, but what has been made public, and this is from the team which is comprised of Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, Jason Greenblatt, his special representative for international negotiations, David Friedman, the ambassador to Israel, and Nikki Haley, Haley, the very, very much loved Nikki Haley, who is the ambassador to the United Nations, and they released a joint statement today saying that they are in the middle of discussions within the administration over when to release the plan to the public. However, they have said no one will be fully pleased with our proposal, but that's the way it must be if peace is to be achieved, real peace. Peace can only succeed if it is based on realities. So I don't know how many frantic phone calls there will be from Jerusalem to the White House, or from Ramallah to the White House, or even if they, and we don't know it yet, if they will be including elements from the Gaza Strip. But what we do know is that they have said not everybody is going to be fully pleased.
Certainly going to be very interesting to see what happens there. Ro, have a good Shabbos, and we'll chat to you on Monday.
Good Shabbos, Benji. Have a good one. If you puzzle Thursdaying, do it responsibly, and have a good weekend.